FBI Studios. This is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Truth and Justice. This week's episode is a long one. It is a long interview, and I think it's an important one, and it gives us a good look at what was going on in Becky's life, and not only the year before her murder, but also we even get some information about the weekend when she was killed, or at least some potential information. This week, I dropped a series of bonus episodes where you heard from Becky's sister Tanya, her sister Drew, in another older interview with Becky's dad, Ron, and his wife, Liesl. In Ron and Liesl's interview, we heard a lot about what was supposedly going on at Charles Kunze's house when Tiffany was living there, when Becky was living there. So the next logical step in our investigation, as we start to check things off the list so we can move closer towards the case against Robert and Christian, is to see what Charles Kunze himself actually had to say. This is a very long interview. It's about an hour and a half long. I left the whole thing in there, but it is very good audio. It's very easy to hear. And Charles is just, he's an easy listen. So without any further ado, this is Season 12, Episode 33, Chuck.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that he did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Jim was already talking to you quite a bit about this. Alluded to
take
things.
Your,
I'll let him
take your coats off. Sit down. All right. Relax.
We'll let him take the lead on this thing here, because we just have a little bit of follow-ups in reference to the case that he talked about on the phone with you.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, I hear you.
That was bringing back a...
Yeah, I had to live with that ever since that weekend, I guess. I'm really appreciate the fact that you're continuing on with the investigation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's, if nothing else, at least for the family.
Yeah. You know, it never, like I told you on the phone, it never stopped. It's just, I probably went through, since then, some periods of rapid, developments and some periods of slow developments.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But we are currently in a situation. Are we alone here? It's just us?
It's just us.
Okay.
There's nobody here. I live alone.
All right. We're currently in a...
Tiffany moved, got herself a house and moved down the road. So,
Yeah.
Good for her.
Well, things are definitely progressing. And one of the things that we realized as a group of investigators was that it doesn't seem like that anybody talked to you, or if they did, they didn't do a very thorough job of documenting speaking with you.
Well,
and we have a lot of unanswered questions about some of the things that were going on in Becky's life that we were hoping you might be able to shed some light on.
Well, I'll try.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I start with, just want to get all of the correct information for spelling of your name and address and all that good stuff.
First name is Charles.
Okay.
Last name is spelled K-U-N-Z-E. Kunze.
Kunze, that's it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And as I mentioned, I'm Investigator James Dickey. It's Investigator Ryan Bodmer and Investigator Tom Wish.
Yeah.
I am with the Sheriff's Department. The two of them are with Riverside County District Attorney's Office.
Good.
We're all peace officers. Can I get your birthday?
1946.
All right. And I have your address, and I know I have your... let's just confirm your phone number again.
It's
And did you say you had a cell, or you do not have a cell?
Oh, the kids last year, I'm sorry, but I've got one in high school and one in grade school, and Tiffany is now doing substitute teaching, so I had to get a phone.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, but I had to do that. Let me see if I can. Let's see. It says own number.
Okay. And the address here, if I have this correct, correct me if I'm wrong, is Newhall. And did you tell me it was 922?
91321.
91321. Yeah. And are you working right now?
I'm retired.
Retired.
Retired, finally. It only took me 6 years to do it. After I finally filled out the papers, they kept calling me back.
Yeah. What did you...
I treated sewage.
Okay.
In Burbank.
Oh, well, did you do that for 30, 40 years? Long time?
21 years.
Okay.
And before that was 26 years in the oil field.
Wow.
Yeah. So...
And here in California or what state?
Yeah. California and local areas. Yeah.
Signal Hill, Long Beach...
Signal Hill, Long Beach, out here in Pico Canyon, Santa Paula, Ventura, all around. But mostly in this area, Los Angeles County.
Like environmental engineer or something?
No, I was a pumper.
Okay.
In other words, I was a guy that worked out in the field and got my hands dirty and did the reports as best as I could and... Tried to keep my boss happy.
Yeah, good.
Does all this new talk of the boom in North Dakota and the fracking, is that something you feel like you missed out on, or are you happy to be done?
I was born in North Dakota, and I know that area well enough that those people there struggled for generations to try and make a living. If they can make a living on the oil, I'm happy for them. Yeah. I'm happy for them. I'm sorry. I still have farm in my blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what else can I help you with?
Well, why don't we start with, I think if you could give us in your own words a little bit of background about how you initially even came in contact with the Freedley family. And I know this is going back a really long time.
No. I'll go with you. My cousin lived next door to the Freedley house.
Oh, up there.
What's your, if you don't mind me asking, your cousin's name?
Ted Coleman. Sharon still lives in the house. His ex still lives in the
Sharon
house.
Sharon Coleman.
Yeah.
That's the house that's just right next to the log cabin looking house.
Yeah, it's a log house.
Is Sharon his ex-wife?
Yes.
I've actually spoken with her.
To be honest with you, years ago, I helped him work on that house as he was building it because he was... doing it himself. And that's where actually all of a sudden here come three little girls screaming and hollering, "Mom's broke her leg, Mom's broke her leg." We dropped our tool belts and ran over to the house. Well, she'd fallen off a stool and strained her leg, but she was okay. But well, that's when I first met him. But then that was about 88, 89, and then it wasn't until about 94, after they had that big fire up there, my cousins were going to be gone, and they needed somebody to look after the dogs and in the house and stuff, because there was a lot of, they have a problem up there with theft and people breaking because of the remote area.
Yeah.
And so I was up there one day, and all of a sudden the kids came over and they wanted to know who was over there, and I went over and basically, I followed them back to the house and introduced myself, and it was a kind of a deal where Vicky had been separated from Ron, and she was up there all by herself, and I told her, I says, "Well, you got coffee? I'll come over and visit with you at least." But it seemed like every so often I would be going up there to do this house sitting because at that time I was unemployed anyway. I was kind of in between jobs. And I would go over and, you know, I'd always say, "Hey, I'm over here. You want to go have a cup of coffee?" And we'd visit. And it was funny because one evening we were sitting there and they were talking about how they have the family in Santa Barbara that they go to visit in the summertime. And offhand, I said, "Well, if you're coming back through this way, stop in. I'll take you over to Magic Mountain, which is 10 minutes down the road." And so they kind of came over and they would stay for their, they would finish off their holiday with Magic Mountain. And I got to know the kids pretty well. And then there was a kind of a time period when along we would just have these intermittent visits and stuff like that. And then the kids, when they had the chance, well, they always had like Magic Mountain weekend. They would come over here, and especially with Tiffany, you know, being the older sister, she would pick them up and they would come over here, and I'd have kids all over the house. Mm-hmm. But it kind of went along pretty good. And then with Tiffany, I got to know her a little better because she was living in Costa Mesa at that time. And
what time period are you thinking that is?
Let me think. 98, 99, somewhere around there, maybe 97, somewhere in that time period.
And Tiffany's living on her own.
Yeah, she was married at that time.
Okay.
And I would every now and then, I'd go down, I'd call her up and say, hey, you want to go for dinner or something like that? I'd take them out because they're a young couple and didn't have a lot of money. And I started back to work again in the water industry. So anyway, I got along with her pretty good. And actually, I moved her back out to the desert because she had started that little business of hers out there. She was selling fire extinguishers, smoke alarms. It was called Safety Pro. And she was doing okay, but she was still having problems. And in between, she became a single mom, and she was living by herself. And so one day, she was telling me that they're going to raise the rent in her apartment. And I says, well, if you want, you can always stay at my house. And about 3 weeks later, we moved her over here with her son. Mm-hmm. He is 3 years old. Well, that was okay. She was going, actually working for her bachelor's degree there at UCLA. Mm-hmm.
This is about late 90s?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, that was later than that. It was 2003 because her oldest son was 3 years old, okay. I remember. Just turned three. And so she was doing her schooling, and the little guy was here, and I was working, and that was fine. And then one day, now this is where the important part for you folks come in.
Yeah.
She was talking with me, and she says, you know, Becky's having a pretty bad time there at the school. She's gone to like three different high schools in 3 years or something like that. And those people are just picking on her, and she's not doing well. And she says to me, you know, we kind of got along. She says, is it okay if Becky comes and stays with us so I can get her away from that? And I said, well, we'll just clear out your office there. We'll move things around. We'll make a place for her. And that was fine.
And this is Tiffany asking you this, right?
Yeah, she asked me that because she and Becky were kind of had a very special relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, the other two half-sisters, they kind of had their own special relationship with them. And I got two over here, so... Anyway, Becky came and stayed with us. We got her enrolled at the local high school, and she did quite well. Did quite well. I mean, it was a different attitude here. A little bit more relaxed, shall I say. There was rules, you know, we had to have rules on her, but she did very well after she got in it, you know, with it. And she...
When she moved here, about what, when do you think that was? What year was that?
I'm going to say 2004.
Okay. And she was about 17?
17, 16, I believe. About 16, because she had her birthday here.
Okay.
And... then after, I can remember afterwards, she was going to for her driver's license, and she was kind of apprehensive about it, so I had a little talk with her, and I says, come on, I need you to have that license, you know.
Yeah.
As a backup or something. And I came home from work that night, and there was a temporary license with a magnet on the refrigerator, and I said, that's my girl.
But, that's good. How did you don't mind me asking, did Vicki feel about her coming up here at that age? Was she supportive? Was it a fight?
I don't know. They lived so far away, and a lot of all I could get through was kind of secondhand knowledge, but I'm pretty sure that she was... I really don't know how she felt about it, whether she felt threatened or whether she felt upset or whether she was happy or whatever.
Okay. It just kind of was.
Yeah, it was just kind of like something that happened, really, between as far as getting to know Tiffany, Becky, Vicki, everything. It all seemed to just happen,
right?
You know, and I just accepted it as what it was because I had, you know, I looked at it this way. The young kids, if they needed a home, okay, I'll give them my home. If they needed something beyond that, well, we'll talk about it, you know. So, I kind of accepted the fact that they were here, so let's make the best of it.
And she's 16, and she gets that temporary license, and what happens then?
Well... then she graduates from high school.
Here,
yeah. Okay.
So she's here from 2004 until she graduated high school.
2004, 2005.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it was 2005 she went back to live in the desert again.
Okay.
But it was kind of unique because when you talk about maybe there was pressure at home or a lot of problems at home or whatever she was feeling over there, when we got her away from there, I think she felt a little bit more free or relaxed or whatever. She was as funny as can be. But
and she's 16.
Yeah.
How long do you think she stayed here before she moved back? Was it 6 months? Was it a year?
Not quite a year. She came in September and went back, I think, probably June, around the 1st of July the following year.
Okay. Yeah. And didn't move back here. That was her only time that she stayed here.
No, but I want to tell you this up front. The weekend that they were killed, the week before, Tiffany had said to me that Vicki and Becky wanted to come and stay at the house because...
Wanted to stay here.
Stay here for the weekend because... we had, after she graduated from high school, we had kind of worked her into the nursing program at the local college.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, she was more, had an urge to get back to the desert. And she kind of gave up on that. Well, that year after that, she kind of thought, well, maybe I should go back and try it. Mm-hmm. And the way Tiffany told me, they were going to come and stay here and figure out how Becky was going to stay here. We were going to re-enroll her, get her into the nursing classes, and get away from the desert.
Right.
And then...
That was right before.
Yeah, that was the weekend before.
If I can back you up, when she was here and she decided to move back, what happened in that time period that obviously things were going well for her and then she decided to go back? What was the... What precipitated that move?
I don't know. I always said that she was lonesome for her boyfriend and she needed to get back to the desert.
Did you know who he was?
Robert. Yeah. Okay.
Did you have interactions with him personally?
When she was here, I had gone through a lot. That's 10 years ago, but I recall that, remember, she had senior prom, mm-hmm. and he was her date. Mm-hmm. So he ended up spending the night here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you meet him?
Oh, I've met him several times. As a matter of fact, his grandmother lived in Alhambra.
Okay.
And she would sometimes ride in with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go down there and pick her up at the house and then bring her back up here.
Okay.
Or I was thinking Robert's mother, they had a kind of a thing where they were in town. And they were going to take Becky back to the desert, I guess, for the weekend or something like that. And
you're speaking of Robert Pate, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And so we met down in Griffith Park, as I recall, and we went our separate ways after that. But I had thought that she had kind of a fairly good relationship with Robert, you know. But to be honest with you, I didn't really get to know him that well because he lived in the desert, she lived here.
Right.
But like I say, I had met him on several occasions, yeah. And he did spend the night here.
Okay. Do you since then, or even up to current time, do you have communications with the Pate family at all or no?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Because that was Becky's friends, not mine.
Right.
You know, I'm kind of like, okay, it's your friends. Go do what you want to do. I'll just, you know, go about my business.
What was your perception of the relationship that Becky had with Robert? Did you think it was positive? Did you think it was negative? Did you have any feelings either way?
Well, it's like all young people. You never know. They always seem to be very energetic about relationships, but not very intelligent. You know where I'm going with that.
There. Yeah. Was there any major things that came up with Becky then in terms of relationships that you can remember? Is there any crises of any sort or any, we're talking prior to, you know, when they were the late 2006, talking more in like the, in the winter of 2006, beginning of the year, but about the time she moved back. Was there anything that stuck out in your head as something that was really, it would be a big deal for a 17-year-old?
The only thing that I could say is I thought it was rather strange that she was in such a hurry to get back to the desert after she got out of high school. But I always say, well, like I say, young people, she misses her boyfriend and she wants to get back. But then I found out about 6 weeks later that they kind of went separate ways. And I go, well, that happens too, you know.
Yeah.
And I just kind of take it for face value and go on.
Yeah.
Whereas... not really. I never got totally involved with what you would say their relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I figure it's just boyfriend, girlfriend, let it go at that.
Yeah.
But, so she, I heard that they had kind of went separate ways, and I go, well, that happens too, you know. They're so far apart, and then all of a sudden when they're face to face for, you know, every day or something like that, you go, well, maybe this isn't working out like I thought. But she stuck it out for that year, I guess, about a year.
Yeah.
And then, like I say, they were thinking about re-enrolling her because I guess, well, she was working, I heard, at the Denny's restaurant. And maybe she wanted to get away from that, or maybe there was something going on there that was not working that I wasn't aware of. Right. You know, maybe some kind of a personal conflict or but you know, that's 120 miles away.
Yeah.
And that's their relationship, not mine. So I just kind of get it in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But the unique thing was we had talked also about, because she was going to school out here, if she wanted to work part-time, I had friends up at the local Outback Steakhouse at that time, and I was talking with them about her perhaps moving up here and maybe working part-time. He says, have her come on up. We do that all the time with those young college students and stuff like that. They can work the night shift if it doesn't interfere with their schooling.
Yeah.
And I can get her in right now. And I go, okay. And I thought, this is going to work out fine.
That's a good job.
Yeah. She can work part-time. She's got school. Mm-hmm. She's got a home that she can stay in, rent-free.
Mm-hmm. Can't beat that.
And well, this was all kind of talked about. And then they were a no-show. They didn't show up that weekend.
And this was the weekend prior to their deaths.
Well... Mm-hmm. We talked about it the weekend prior. The weekend that they were killed, that was the weekend they were supposed to be here.
Right, okay.
Supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
well, that was the arrangement that you guys
That was
made.
The arrangement, yeah. That they were going to come that weekend and spend the weekend.
And that was your interpretation
of it.
That
was my interpretation, yeah.
That's fine.
But then I got the call that says, well, they're not going to make it. They're going to postpone it. And I says, oh, gee.
Who called?
Yeah. Tiffany. Yeah, she was the one that she kind of keeps me informed.
Okay.
So I says, well, okay, whenever, you know, the bedrooms are already here, and you know, it's when you know how to get here. We know what we want to do. And I think it was that following Tuesday night, about maybe 7 o'clock, I got a call from Tiffany's aunt in Santa Barbara. And Tiffany, at that very time, she was doing house cleaning in Ventura. And I had put her son to bed because it was, I think it was a school night or something like that for him. And the aunt told me, she says, did you hear anything about the house burning down? And I go, well, I knew that stove up there wasn't in good shape, but cool. And she says, yeah, and they found 3 bodies. And I go, tell me more, what's going on? Well, we don't know quite everything yet, but there was a house fire, and it looks like we lost John and Vicky and Becky. And I says, oh, okay, I know where she's at. I'll give her a call. And I called Tiffany up, and I says, you better call your Auntie Yvette. She's got some news for you, and you better be sitting down when she talks to you. Well, she had to drive all the way from Ventura here after she found out about all this. And she walked in the door, and man, she just broke. In this house, for the next 3 hours, we had everybody seem to be coming here, and they were on the phones, and they were talking this and talking that, and trying to get information from this person and that person. And they, the most of it I could get out of it was that, there had been a fire, and they found 3 bodies, and that was what I got that evening. And then the rest of it came out where there was homicide suspected. But you know, when you burn the house down around it, and that, it's kind of hard to get the evidence out of it too.
Yeah.
You know.
And this phone call you received occurred on the murders were on the 17th, which was a Sunday. This phone call that you got
was the following Tuesday night.
2 days later.
Yeah, 2 days later.
Okay, and that's the first time you'd heard about
that
this.
That was the first time any of us had heard about it.
Including Tiffany. Okay.
So we were kind of like, wow, how come we're doing this so late? But
right.
As I can understand, you don't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry walking all over the place trying to see what's going on. It's a crime scene. You've got to keep people away.
Right. And can I back up to that weekend? Was Tiffany here that weekend?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you were here that weekend, I presume?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was working, and my schedule, I believe, was that time was from Sunday through Thursday, so I had to be home. I was also on 24-hour call.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of my work, I was on call, so
yeah,
I had to kind of stick around home.
Okay. Let me recap and make sure I understand. Your first initial contact with the Friedley family was, if my timeline is correct, is about 1988, 1989, when you were doing the construction at the Coleman house.
Yeah.
And the kids came over and said, Mom broke her, fell off a stool.
Yeah, fell off her stool. Yeah. I can remember sitting with my back. We were out on the porch afterwards.
Yeah.
And basically, we were all sharing a soda.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting with my back up against the wall and Becky sitting in my lap.
And did you help build that house?
I helped her finish it off.
I've been in that house. It's a beautiful house.
Yeah, that was kind of a...
I'm probably a sore subject now, I guess. Yeah, with
the, yeah, with but the, no, the divorce. I did a lot of the finish work in it because, well, my cousin, because of the nature of his work, he was gone a lot.
Yeah.
And also, he has a lot of arthritis problems.
Okay.
Where sometimes he can't do the work. And basically, the bank was going to call up and says, you know, if you don't get this house livable, we're going to take our money back. Mm-hmm. And then, so when I found about that, I says, every day off I had, I went up there.
Yeah. It's probably the nicest house up there. Really.
On the inside.
Yeah.
On the inside.
Yeah.
But I remember going up there and, like, I grew up with this guy since we were 5 years old.
Your cousin?
Yeah, so.
And his first name was Ted. Ted Coleman.
Yeah, so what happened was, he knows me well enough to say, he'll come to me and says, Chuck, this needs to be done here. Here's the materials. Let me know if you need anything more. And he'll walk away because he knows it's going to get done.
Yeah, it's going to get done right.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, because he hates doing finish work. He'll cut logs and he'll pound nails, but to do that real fine work, he just doesn't want to do it. But that's digressing.
Yeah. And it was in 1994-ish that when you were doing the house sitting, and you went over and found out that Vicki was living single mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what it was, I'm out there just enjoying a cup of coffee and watching the dogs, and all of a sudden these little girls keep coming out of the forest. You know? And they weren't shy.
No.
They weren't shy. But
very trusting.
Yeah, and then they came over and says, Mom wants to meet you. She wants to know who's over here at the house. And I said, okay. So I went over and I started talking with her. And I says, I don't know if you remember me, but I remember when you fell off the stool and hurt your ankle.
Does she remember you?
No.
No. Didn't get that?
Who is it? Telemarketers.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And even I'm on the no call list.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Still
happens. So that's in about 1994.
The fire was
2006.
July.
Oh, you're talking about the big fire.
94. Yeah. The big fire up there was in 2004, probably late June, early July.
1994?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I can remember because I hadn't started work again yet. And I had plenty of free time, so I volunteered to go up there and, you know, house sit. The dogs knew me very well. Everybody knew me, and I knew my way around up there. So,
yeah. If you don't mind me asking, would you categorize your relationship with Vicki as just friends, or are you guys more boyfriend girlfriend?
Well. It's kind of be boyfriend girlfriend, you know, when there's so much distance.
Yeah.
But I know that a lot of times she would. I think probably she was more open with me than any of the people I had known. But here again, she was going through this separation / divorce / raise the children, live alone. So, you know, I was always kind of like. Maybe what you would consider a better friend, but not a boyfriend.
No. Companion.
Companion.
Yeah.
Somebody that she could sit down and have a cup of coffee and just tell what she's feeling.
Did you see each other daily, weekly,
no.
Once a month?
No.
Once every 6 months?
Maybe once every 4 or 5 months or
okay.
Something like that. Because like I say, between me going up there and house sitting,
right.
So to speak, and her passing through here, on her way over to her family and stuff. She came over one time and she had just driven from through that desert at about 115 degrees with no AC. And I tell you, when she and the girls got here, they looked like wet rags.
Mm-hmm.
So I says, if you're tired, your beds are here, you can stay. So they ended up staying. I fed them the next morning and breakfast and sent them on their way.
Yeah.
But I have this habit of kind of looking out after people in a kind of a helpful way.
It's not a bad trait.
You know, I see somebody that has a problem out there, and I says, well, you know, I talked with Vicki one time. She says, I'm so broke. I'm not going to be able to make my house payment this month. I says, how much is your house payment? She quoted me a price, and I says, so who's your bank with? And she says, Glendale Federal. I says, I got a branch over here. Give me the number. So I went out and I paid a house payment for her.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but that's a kind of a quirk in my personality. I know my niece was lamenting the fact that she wasn't going to be able to go to Hawaii because she has a kind of a standing date with her, all of her lady friends.
Mm-hmm.
They would meet and spend a week in Hawaii, you know. Well, she just lost her job. She was looking for a new job. The money was just draining out of her accounts and everything like that. And I looked at her and I said, how much does it cost to go to Hawaii? She says, God, I got to come up with $400. And I says, go buy the ticket here. So it's just a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, it's a kind of a quirk that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need anything, really.
It's nice to be able to help other people.
Well, I've always done that, especially now with Vicky's family. I helped her out. But then she met this fella, John, so I figured, okay, you know, you got somebody that's going to help you, keep you going, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the girls always liked coming over here because they could laugh and have fun and go to the park. And, of course, I would always treat the hell out of them, too.
Yeah.
And it was okay. I mean, the girls, but the other two sisters, they grew up. One went in the Navy, one went into the Air Force.
Mm-hmm. And Tiffany, you probably had the best relationship with?
We did. For some reason, we started to hit it off a lot better, but then again, she was older.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going through some really hard times, too. And I can remember, I'll tell you this up front, Becky had some friends over one evening. They were going out for something, and she introduced me as her godfather.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck. So I have become godfather to Tiffany and her boys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other two sisters, I don't have any contact at all. They kind of went on a separate way. I don't know why. But if they showed up at my door, I would never turn them away.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I knew them well enough.
Yeah.
But, no. But Tiffany became kind of like a godchild, so to speak.
Yeah.
And even though she was so independent, she really wasn't. You know.
Yeah. And she moved, moved to Costa Mesa in like the late 90s, if I understand it correctly, mm-hmm. and moved in full time when she became divorced with her boy when he was three. That was about 2003.
2003.
Got the timeline right?
Well, like I say, they had moved back over to the desert in about 1999, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was about that time period there.
Okay.
Because I know her son was born in 2000, and she was still living out in the desert
okay.
at the time.
So when he was about three, Tiffany moves in, and,
yeah.
and it seems to be, if I got the timeline right, about 2 years later in 2005, it would be probably the summer or winter of 2005.
2004.
September of 2004. Okay.
September of 2004.
The reason I'm saying that is because...
She went to high school.
Yeah, she finished high school. And
what
she
high school?
Yes, yeah.
William S. Hart, Union High School. As a matter of fact, my niece's son was in the same graduating class.
And that's here?
Sure.
And she stayed till about January, February of 2005?
June.
No.
June.
So here's how that works. She graduates in June.
Right.
And she
that was her senior year.
Senior year.
She and Robert came down here
yeah.
and took her to the senior prom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you guys left from this house.
That's
seen the video.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Tiff's got, I think she still has the video of
yes.
when they were all dressed up here and
yeah.
looking good. And I go, okay, it's prom, high school, you kids go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
This is no big excitement for me. But she worked for about a month after she got out of high school up at the Magic Mountain Park.
Okay.
About 1 month.
What'd she do there?
I really don't know exactly what she did. But,
about a month.
About a month. And then this thing came up. She says, oh, I want to move back to the desert.
What thing came up? Just the idea?
The idea, the idea of going back to the desert. And I go, well, maybe she and Tiffany had a big sister-to-sister fight. I don't know.
This is an 05.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe she wants, like I say, she wants to go back and be with her boyfriend. Whatever the reason is, like I say, I just took it for face value and I says, okay, you're always welcome to come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
But Tiffany and her had a fight.
They might have. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm out at work or something like that, I don't know what those two do with each other. Yet, on the other side of the point, Tiffany, like I say, had such a relationship with Becky that they could always talk to each other.
Right.
They could always tell each other what's... Basically, they were confidants to each other.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether... Becky missed that and wanted to come back. In other words, she was willing to come back here and go back to school.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Did Becky ever fall under any medical benefits of yours through work or?
No.
Okay.
No, not during my work or anything like that. I know that she had. I'm not sure what medical benefits that she had because she had appendicitis. She had her appendix removed while she was here.
She did?
Oh, yeah.
And do you know where she went for that and when that
was?
Right
here at the local Henry Mayo Hospital. I can't give you an exact time of that, when it was.
Okay.
But I do recall.
But when she was here, in that time period, she was living here.
Yeah.
More closer to the end or closer to the beginning?
Probably closer to the end.
Okay.
Probably 2005.
Was that, do you know if that was covered under Dad's insurance or did you?
It might have been covered under Ron's insurance.
You did, but
because she was under 18 at the time.
Okay.
So
you don't remember paying for any of that though?
I can remember taking her up to the walk-in one time, you know, because she had a bad cold or sore throat or something like that, strep throat.
Was that the same place, Henry Meyer, or was that a different place?
No, we have all kinds of walk-ins. It's actually right here about the end of the street.
Like an urgent care?
Urgent care, yeah.
Do you remember the name of it?
No, I don't exactly remember the name. I'd have to look it up.
But it's right up the street, right going up the Lions.
It's right on Lions Avenue. If you go back over here to the Wiley Canyon,
mm-hmm.
And if you're going to go back to the freeway,
mm-hmm.
you go left on Lyons Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and it will be on your right-hand side as you start going up the hill to the freeway.
Okay.
I don't know if they call it the doctor's office or something like that, but that's 10 years ago.
Okay.
But,
and besides the appendicitis and a cold on the urgent care, is there any other significant medical event during that time frame that that you can recall that Becky... had come up in life? That she shared with you? Or that you might have heard through Tiffany?
I hope you don't mind me. I'm thinking here. No, the appendicitis was probably the most catastrophic. If there was anything, like I say, a strep throat or something that they could go into the walk-in.
Right.
You know, well, here again... You know, you go into the walk-in, I just take a check out, and I put my name to it, and I says, give me a receipt when you come back.
Okay.
You know, that's just my way of looking after people.
Did you keep those receipts?
I have to look.
Okay.
I had a thing in there I looked at, and it says kids doctoring.
Okay.
So, give me a second.
Sure.
I might have thrown it out because that's so long ago. I never really thought about it. But let me look.
good. Yeah.
I want to get a, his understanding of the relationship with the daughters. Who belonged to who?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what, yeah.
What do you mean, dad-wise?
Yeah, who was father, who was mother, who was, you know, that kind of thing. I know Tiffany is a half-sister, stepsister, but okay. I just want that, and I wanted to get a, his understanding. I want to get a better understanding of this timeline. That's why I kind of do this. I want to go with the time she came from school to the time that she left. I want to know if she came in here in 2006, because there was some recollection that she did come back from 06 February after the breakup, and then was here for just a couple of months, about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then she went back to the desert.
Right.
She
claimed
here.
Okay.
She,
no worries.
Yeah. So, just curious, because that's what Liesl will say.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I just.
It's empty.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but you know.
I apologize about it.
When I looked at kids doctoring, you know, I there was probably receipts from the walking in or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
As far as major medical on that appendicitis,
that's okay.
Appendectomy.
Right.
That's pretty major. That's at least 2 or 3 days in the hospital, especially if it ruptured.
It hadn't ruptured.
But you could get in pain,
Yeah. So I can remember. Her bedroom was right next to mine,
mm-hmm.
and I can remember hearing her crying. It's enough to wake me up. So I went in there, and Tiffany had already walked in with had the light on. And I looked at her, and I says, "You better get her up there."
Yeah.
And I says, "Don't worry about it. I'm looking after the little guy. You know, he's okay."
Yeah. Well, you've been very patient with us. We appreciate that.
I can help you.
A couple more questions.
Yeah.
We just want to make. We're just trying to clarify for our own understanding.
Yeah.
But along the lines of the medical questions I've been asking, obviously, I've been asking a lot about it because it could have an important role as to what had occurred. And I know that might not make a lot of sense now, but. In our eyes, it might mean a lot to the investigation.
Well, the thing about it is, if I had an idea which way you're headed, I could probably help you a lot more.
Well, here's just to be blunt. Here's where I'm heading. You know, and this wasn't the only point of coming to speak to you. We wanted to speak to you about a lot of things, but one of the main things we wanted to ask you was that: did you have any knowledge of her? Being pregnant or have a pregnancy scare at all, any time that you knew her?
Let me be frank with you. As far as I know, when Becky was here, she had never had sex with anybody that I knew.
Right.
Okay. But...
Even Robert.
Yeah, even Robert.
Because he stayed the night here that
night. No. That was separate bedrooms.
Oh, okay.
I made sure of that. I'm sorry, but I'm old-fashioned.
So those conversations never. So basically, you're telling me you're not privy to any information about her having a pregnancy scare, or being pregnant, or being treated for any type of scare of maybe thinking that she was pregnant. That is not something that occurred.
I'll be upfront with you. I never heard a word about that.
Okay.
Like I say, as far as I know, she had never had sex while she was in this house.
Either. Okay. You did not have knowledge of her being sexually active when she was here, staying here.
As far as I know, she wasn't.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I don't know if it's worth it. She and some of her friends here were going out to a party one night, and I would say within 40 minutes they came wandering back. She says they were smoking pot over there, and I had to get away. And I go, "Good for you. Good."
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you being honest with us on that, and frank, as you said. But if something like that had occurred, where in your mind would you think that she would go to get treatment or to be seen on something like that? Do you think that if that was the case, and I don't know that it is, but just speculating,
mm-hmm.
do you think that would mile here? Clinic or the
Henry Mayo
Hospital.
Henry Mayo
Hospital. Or do you think that would something she would go back out there, or you're not really sure?
I have no idea, okay. Quite frankly. Like I say, as far as I know, while she was here, the idea of her ever being pregnant, mm-hmm. even having sex, let alone being pregnant, was never discussed.
Right. And don't get me wrong, we do not have information at this time that suggests that. I wouldn't want to spread misinformation or have that repeated to somebody, but I know Investigator Bodmer wanted to just get a little bit better timeline of when she moved out. He really understands that timeline. Has probably the most amount of knowledge of that time, so I'm gonna let him ask you a couple questions about the time.
Yeah, I was just curious about that. It's hard to remember all
that. Would you like a can of soda? You've been talking an awful lot.
I'm good right now.
Okay.
But I will when we're done.
It's right there in the fridge.
So in 2004, I'm sorry, 2003, Tiffany was living out here with her son.
She moved in, I believe, in September of that year.
03.
At 03, because in October they had a big fire here on the west side, and she called me at work and told me to get home because she was totally afraid, because she had gone through that other big fire up
in the Pinyon in 94.
Yeah.
Right.
And she was scared.
Yeah.
So
all the girls were pretty scared of fire. I even remember, because I've heard a lot of them talk about it. They just don't like fire. They don't, because of being up there, especially being around that one in 94. So, okay, so what I really want to do is focus in on Becky, just so we can do that and get that squared away. So she was having a lot of problems down in the desert at school.
That's what my impression was.
Yeah.
Like I say, I think she had gone to at least two different high schools in 3 years.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
Tiffany was, when something was bothering her, well, she would come to me. You know, she tried to work it out herself, but she came to me and she says, told me that Tiffany or Becky was having problems, and would it be all right? She says, I want to get her away from there, and I want to get her up here,
right,
away from all that,
right,
whatever conflict that she was having.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. And I looked at her and I says, well, we'll just move a few pieces of furniture around. We'll make a place for her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And
because sometimes a change helps people.
Yeah,
so
it certainly did. Mm-hmm. And not to belabor it, but when she left here, my neighbor next door had a little car that he was selling.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, do you really want it? Well, yeah, okay, you know. I says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll get it. I'll help you get it. Okay, so I helped her with some money to get this car. And here's the best part. When we went to my insurance agent to put on there, my agent, she asked what were her grades in her final year so she could get a discount. And I looked at her and I said, straight A.
Mm-hmm.
She had a straight A. She had fought and fought and fought in the desert. She comes out here, a little bit of discipline, you know. We had to kind of say, okay, you've got rules here.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, there's conflict within about the first 6 weeks, you know. And it's kind of like new and everything. But she got into it, and she was able to graduate. She got straight A's in her last year, which helped get that discount. She's got her little car. Okay. Well, I'm going back. And I says, well, keep in touch, you know. You're always welcome to come back.
Right.
You know that. And
so that was 04 that she moved out here in 04, September of 04.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a year Tiffany was here with her son. And then in about 2004, she came to live out here. She went to the school, right? She went over there to the school at William S. Hart Union High School?
Yes.
All right. She finished her senior year there.
Yes.
All right. And that's a long time. So that's about a 12-month period or 11-month period, right?
10 months.
Yeah, roughly. About 10 months.
10 months, roughly.
And in between there, so she graduated from high school, right? And that was June of 2005.
Yes,
okay,
because she was killed in 2006. That was a year
ago. Yeah. 2005, she graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And for about a month after graduation, she stays here. And she gets a job at Magic Mountain.
Right.
And she worked for about 30 days or so.
About 30 days.
Okay. And now in 05, this is 2005, June, mm-hmm. that's when she says, okay, I'm going to move back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would have been about, probably, let's just say August, to the best of your recollection. That would give it a month, June, July, late July.
Roughly around the 1st of August.
Okay. She goes back to the desert,
mm-hmm.
all right? Back to the desert. And, you know, I know you. I don't expect you to know why or what. You know, she's just probably, yeah, I won't be with my boyfriend.
Well,
whatever it is, right?
You know, I don't get into people's relationships like that.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Plus, it's young love anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's none of my business, really.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. I appreciate that.
Well, my brother was living with a lady towards later on in his life, and he asked me what I felt about it, and I looked right at him, and I says, "That's none of my business. It's your business, not mine."
Good for you.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Wish more people were like that. So in 05, she goes back to the desert, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now this is what I'm saying, August of 05.
Roughly.
Now, does she at any time between August of 05 to the time that she was murdered, does she come back out here to stay for an extended period of time?
No. The only time that she came out here was when Tiffany graduated. I believe Tiffany graduated in 06. And she mm-hmm. and Vicki and...
you remember when in 06?
It must have been June. June of 06.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And she graduated from UCLA?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so June of 06 is when Tiffany graduates.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's why I'm trying to figure out the timeline.
I'm 70 years old next month. What are you talking about?
You're doing good.
Because I can remember, because Becky and Vicki came and stayed the night before the graduation ceremony.
In 06.
In 06. And then we went from there, we all went down to UCLA and for the ceremony, and then we all went back. There's a big restaurant here up on the mm-hmm. hill. So that was, we had all of the friends a good portion of the family, grandma and grandpa came, her aunt from Encinitas mm-hmm. came up, and Vicky's sister, and this place overnight was an absolute madhouse with people,
sure.
you know. And then I believe I recall one time it was a Sunday, and I heard a knock on the door, and I went to the door, and it was Vicky and Becky. And they were on their way over to Santa Barbara for Mother's Day.
Of 06.
06. And I guess that they had shut the water off there up in the desert because they couldn't pay the bill. And so they needed a place to take a shower before they got there. So they came in to take a shower and then they went on their way.
Yeah.
And I just said, hi, goodbye, you know. But they always knew that there was a place here that they could crash or whatever
right,
they needed
yeah.
to, if they were tired, if they mm-hmm. were, if they needed something.
Okay.
If they,
so I guess my big thing, I just had a little bit of a gap in there between August of 05 and then the September of 2006. There was a couple of times, May would have been Mother's
yeah,
Day.
Yeah.
You don't want to forget that.
No.
Because yeah, so I got my wife.
There was a kind of a, you know, she was out there in the desert. And
yeah.
I says, okay, that's fine. You're doing whatever you want to do, you know. You,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
of course, like I say, I had Tiffany with me, and she was graduating. And we were talking about now, okay, trying to work, get a working career in with...
Becky.
No, with herself.
Okay.
Because, you know, now that she's got her degree, mm-hmm. she's going to find a job
sure.
and everything like that. That's cool. Okay. Your son's here. He's going, like, to preschool. Okay, yeah. that's fine. We got a little rhythm going here. And then all of a sudden, I get this call in the night that all this tragedy happens. And, of course, I couldn't even talk with Tiffany that night. Mm-hmm. So a couple of days later, we sat down and says, you know, between all this, and I says, listen, I know the deal was you were supposed to get your degree and your career and be on your way and just be happy. But this came up. Take whatever time that you need to settle this down, you know, and try and work this out. Of course, it went forever. You know, it took almost 2 years to settle that, just the insurance and the estate and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, you know, I have to sit right alongside that lady while she's trying to fight with this lawyer, and she's trying to fight with this, and she's trying to do this, and she's trying to get this, and, you know, I could see the strain on her. So I says, mm-hmm. basically, I told her, I says, take whatever you time, don't worry about it, the house is here, you do whatever you need to do. Okay. And it worked out well, sort of.
Yeah.
But there's always that gnawing thing, is this, what really happened and yeah. why?
Oh, up there you mean, yeah. Yeah, well, we're trying to get to those answers, and, you know, what it is just bringing clarity to things. So there's, mm-hmm. you know, obviously there's a lot of things that are there. There's some dynamics at play, but mm-hmm. It's just a matter of synchronizing. Yeah. Well, we synchronize everything. So mm-hmm. the way, like Investigator Dickey was talking about, mm-hmm. is that we have, yes, the original investigation occurred. Yes, it mm-hmm. was passed off to others and others, so forth. Mm-hmm. There's been this constant up and down path of the investigation. Mm-hmm. But it's been pretty much constant over the last 5 years or 6 years, where it's a circumstantial case. There's nothing to be hidden about that. And those are very difficult. And so you need to actually go through a very long process of synchronizing the entire evidence and making sure that we cover all our bases. We look at no piece of information is not useful to us. We'll look at it all. So that's why we ask you a few of these other questions.
I don't have any problems with that. Yep. I'll tell you another thing up front. My brother-in-law lives five doors around the corner here. He's a retired detective lieutenant with Burbank PD.
Right.
So, you know.
He's got some stories. Burbank don't mess around.
Well, I tell you what. As far as I know, he's probably one of the most respected detectives they had on the force. There's a lot of those young guys out there that just wish that he was back.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand this.
Yeah, it was done a certain way in those days. Yeah.
Yeah, but after 30-plus years, I think he had a little savvy, too.
You think? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it happens over time.
You mind if I go use the restroom?
No, not at all.
Like I say, 70 years old.
You're doing fine.
70 years young.
Yeah, you guys need the restroom. It's right here in the front down the hall.
All right. That is it, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's what we were trying to do, Charles. Charles or Chuck?
Just Chuck. Chuck.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask. Is right there in that 2005, you know, mm-hmm. when she left in mm-hmm. August, went back to the desert, and then it looks like Mother's Day, from your best recollection, that she did pop out here again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we have Tiffany's graduation from UCLA.
Yeah.
And that was in 06 as well. Mm-hmm. But nowhere in 06 did she stay here for any kind of a month or 2 months just to get away?
No.
Or okay.
No.
Do you recollect? Okay.
No.
You would know.
No.
All right. How about when she did come out, say, for instance, like with, I know you said it was just Vicky and her on Mother's mm-hmm. Day, take a real quick shower, head down the road. What about on graduation night? Did Becky bring anybody with her? Did she have a friend with her? Was Robert with her? She have nobody?
No.
No one? Okay.
No. That was strictly family.
All right, no worries.
More or less.
Yeah.
It was Tiffany's graduation.
Right. No, that's true. Yeah.
But no, he wasn't here for that, no.
Okay. All right, just asking. We're just trying to see if he was still kind of coming around with her back in those times. How about the time when you went? She did go to prom. Did Robert come alone? Did he bring anybody with him? Was there another, say, for instance, you know, bring a friend with him and he goes with another girl? Or sometimes that's the case. Did he have a friend with him? Or, if you remember,
don't recall whether he did or not, mm-hmm. because I think it was mostly the friends around here. Mm. Becky's friends that she had made here. I think he might have interviewed him, but we have Brandon around the corner. I forget his
last name. What's his last name?
Brandon? I forget. Because the reason I forget is folks I asked one time when their anniversary was, and he says, they said, we'd never been married. I go, well, okay. It's kind of easy with that.
It's your business.
Yeah, but he, yeah, he and Becky, and also my niece's son, they were all kind of like friendly towards each other, hung around.
Yeah, right around that same age. Yeah. Birds of a feather.
But as far as that prom, you would have to talk with Tiffany on that, and she has...
Tiffany was kind of making that happen for her, right?
Well, she was so supportive because you know that she wouldn't have got it in the desert.
No, I hear you.
Vicky was never had a lot of money.
Right. What's your understanding of the girls, if you do know, you may not know, as far as, you know, Tiffany's a stepsister or half-sister. How do you understand how that breaks down?
Yeah. Sure. Well, Vicky was married early in her life.
Okay.
And she had Tiffany, and then Tiffany's dad walked out on him, so to speak. This is the way I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
He walked out on him and left him, so
right.
She was raised for about the first 8 years with her grandparents in Santa Barbara.
Oh, the grandparents, okay.
Yeah, and then I don't know whether she met Ron Friedley in Santa Barbara or where.
Wouldn't be far from the Pale, because he's from up here.
Okay.
That's where he grew up here.
I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So then they moved to Riverside.
Yeah, got a job out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they had the other three daughters.
Okay.
You know, and
So Tiffany, like I did, considerably older, almost 10 years.
She was 8 years older than the next one, Tanya. But the thing about that is, that time lag and everything in there, and the fact that she didn't have a dad, and now she's got a kind of a dad, and all this.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what was going on in a 10-year-old's head or a young teenager's head at that time. So, I wasn't around for that time. I can't really
account for any of that.
But what from the time that I met her, I really got to know Tiffany. I think she was probably about 20, 21 years old at the time.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. And
so she's up there with Vicky, and she's 20 or 21 with Vicky at the time.
Well, 18, 19.
But still old enough to take care of the younger girls.
Oh, yeah.
While Vicky would go to work what have you. Yeah.
She became the second mom, so to speak. And, that's the way that I understand that relationship. Because I kind of asked about that and to Tiffany, and she says, they're half-sisters. And then she explained to me how, you know, her father left, and now she's got, carry on with her mom and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that must have been awful traumatic to her mother then, too, to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can see where they... I can see, like I say, my thing is looking at people and see what they need, and there was a lot of need in that.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose if the relationship probably would have grown or been better if it wasn't so much distance up there.
Right, you were just coming babysitting the house and fixing the house. And,
yeah, but all four girls, I tell you what, they, for some reason, they sure stuck to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here I am, I'm just, okay, what do you need?
Yeah.
You crummy little kid? Where are you up to? You want to go to, Magic Mountain? Okay. How about it, Mom? Okay, come on.
Yeah.
You know, the beds are made.
Yeah.
I got it. This is a four-bedroom house.
Yeah.
So there was always some place for them to stay if they needed it. And I know that Tanya, when she got into the Navy She came and stayed with me when she was on leave for about 2 days, 3 days. And while she was here, we went over and I bought her a pickup truck.
Oh, God.
Yeah, her first truck. And then Drew was over here one time, and she was looking for a vehicle, and we ended up over at the Toyota dealer. I got her that Xbox.
Scion. Oh, God,
the
that Scion, yeah.
Xbox.
Drew went in the Air Force.
Yeah. Actually, she was in the Air Force at the time, and she needed transportation to get to her duty station.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she was shipped to Japan, well, that, I just put a cover over it and put it in my driveway, and about once a month I get out and drive it over to Ventura or something like that to charge up the battery. I hate to say this. I don't know how you would feel about relations, but those girls have always been around, and I've always been there for them if they needed it.
For many, many years, it sounds like. Yeah.
And they aren't my kids.
No, no.
No, they're just some little girls that came out of the forest somewhere.
Yeah.
Little elfins, you know.
Hey, sometimes there's no rhyme nor reason to why you do what you do. But so she was, if she was 18, gosh, you know, all these girls were young. These girls were much younger. So Tanya would have been 10. Drew would have been
eight.
About eight, and then
Becky was six.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I say, I can remember her sitting in my lap.
Yeah, yeah, oh boy.
You know, so, but yeah, Becky was. Of course, I don't know. There was what the age difference and everything like that. Being a godfather, you know, all the girls respected me. But in a sense, maybe they were intimidated. They weren't able to open up to me as much as they would to each other, or, you know. So, you know, I kind of got a lot of that secondhand, some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that if they ever got in trouble, they could always call me. And I'd help them out a little bit if I could.
Sure. Okay.
But Don't get me wrong. I still don't, to this day, don't know how I got started. It just happened.
Right.
But I live with it now.
It's a part of your life.
Well,
some good things.
Tiffany's got her two boys now, and
you're married.
No. Got a boyfriend, sort of, but
right.
Because the boys are looking for a father. That's what they're looking for, especially the youngest one.
Are you ready for round two? They're going to be having prom here another 15 years. I don't know. One of
two more years,
right?
Two more years,
yeah.
The oldest one.
Yeah, the oldest is 16.
Yeah. Well,
if I'm doing my math right.
Tiffany's old car sits in the driveway under that cover because.
What is that car?
That's a Saturn. I got that for Tiffany when she moved here so she could get back and forth to UCLA. And then.
Is that rain?
No, I hear a. Pool. You got a pool?
No.
That's rain.
That's rain.
It's rain.
Sunny out. It happens.
It's just my charisma today. Yeah. I've got you guys.
It is rain. Okay.
And I came across a guy today that works with a guy that I knew 30 years ago. I've had a big day today, but listen.
Well, let's
can
see.
I just,
no.
Real quick.
No.
I've got one thing about re-enrolling her in school. Did she go to another school after high school?
You were going to put her in that nursing program.
Yeah, okay, we have.
It wasn't re-enrolled. You were going to have to get her enrolled.
No, what it was is I understand they had already filled out the application.
Okay, gotcha.
After when she was
Tiffany and her.
Yeah, after she had graduated.
Okay.
And actually, that was a tough school at that time to get in, and they accepted her.
Wow. But which school was this?
College of the Canyon.
College of the Canyon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she had all this going for her, but then for some reason, like I say, she had the urge to get back to that desert.
That boy.
Yeah.
Did you, besides prom night with Robert, did he come over here a few more times? Did you ever see him over here?
He had been here probably two or three more times, but just as a visit, not really to stay.
Was he by himself when he showed up?
Yes.
Okay. And he said you had found out that she had broken up with Robert. How'd you find that out, if you remember?
I think Tiffany told me.
Okay. All right. Did she say why they broke up? Or
Like I say, that's none of my business.
Okay, well, there you go.
I don't mean to put it way, but it's really okay.
I'm just asking that.
You know,
so.
People break up. You know, they do strange things.
Sure. Did Becky ever leave like a diary around, or
no.
Was there one left there?
No, I don't know if she ever had any kind of a written or...
She was a writer. She's a beautiful writer.
Yeah.
I never saw any of it.
Yeah.
I never saw any of it. Okay. Whatever it was, if it was her diary, it's hers. Okay. I never saw any of it.
Would there be any personal things left behind here to this day? Any journals or pictures or videos that you would have or documents?
No. The only thing I have is her ceramics that she did when she was in high school.
Oh, okay. Up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have some of her ceramics.
But no other little boxes that were left behind in a garage or in the attic or anything like that?
No, there was nothing left. But she never, when she was here, she packed, I think, two bags and she put them in the trunk of her car when she drove back to the desert, and that was all that I knew that she had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only one I would know that would have any of that would be Tiffany, if she kept it anything as a memorial or memento or something like
Speaking
that.
Of Tiffany, Did you happen to have any conversations with her today that we were coming?
I told her that you were coming.
Okay. Did she seem intrigued?
Or just upset? Fed up?
No. I mean, I explained to her that...
Wow, that's really got some good
you
coming
know, you mentioned about something about having a kind of a neutral or a different...
Neutral third party.
Neutral third party.
Opinion of
an
it, yeah.
Opinion of a neutral third party.
You understand how, sister directly, you might get some very emotional there, and some things might have been forgotten because it's so traumatic, but it's coming down on it.
Dan, that sounds like a cow peeing on a flat rock.
Yeah. I think you've heard that before, to draw that conclusion.
Dakota.
No, and I would never ask.
I know.
I would never ask, unless it was crucial. I would never ask somebody to keep things secret. And it's okay that she knows, but I'm just curious. Yeah. So that way, if we have a conversation with her soon, we know that she knows that we were here.
This kind of came out of the blue, even to me.
Yeah.
Because with all the people that you've talked to, you know, even the neighbor's kids and Becky's cousins and Daniela and everybody else, nobody ever talked to me.
Right.
And she lived with me for a year.
And
I've known
that's why we're here.
And I will apologize on behalf of the Sheriff's Department because that is something that should have been done. But as a part of reviewing all this information, we're finding little gaps that need to be filled in. This is one.
Well, okay. If I can help you anyway, please, you can always call me back if you need to. Every now and then, I have family that lives up in Beaumont. I mean, if I can come talk to you folks, I can always get an email afterwards.
That's close to us.
Yeah, and kind of, you know, one thing that really, really would be helpful is like Jim was saying, is that Becky was very fond of, you know, keeping her, you know, notes in her notebooks and things like that. If you would even think of there being anything here, that would be absolutely helpful. Any kind of old thing.
I'm sorry, but
if there's anything like that.
I can't think of anything that she had written down.
An old backpack, an old book bag, a recollection that you gave Tiffany, a box of things, anything like that.
No, I mean...
Because it sounds like, from what we understand, and you would know this too, is that she was with Robert, her boyfriend,
right,
for the majority of the time. They had a long-distance relationship.
Well, they had a relationship, I guess, before she came here. And they kind of kept that. I could...
You're on the phone quite a bit.
Well, she had a cell phone, but to be quite honest with you, I thought about it because of my work... I had, being on call, I had to keep all of my phone records. And I do believe I still have my phone records for that year.
Mm-hmm.
But among other, at that time, their cousin was living here also. And I mean, she would rack up hours of phone records.
Which cousin?
Daily. Monique, the one that lives in New Mexico now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I challenged her on it one day and said, "How come you're calling the same number every 3 minutes for an hour and a half? Can't you leave a message?" "Oh, I can't do that."
boyfriend, girlfriend.
Okay. Okay. Monique?
Monique.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but to be honest with you, of course, Becky had a cell phone, but I don't know if she would use the house phone because they forced me to have unlimited long distance.
But you never know, so if you do have those records, those would be helpful, especially in high, like I said, may not seem important, but to us.
Do you have a mailing address on there?
You bet.
I'll tell you what I can do. I can probably root back in there and see what I can find for you.
And I'm going to give you my card with my cell phone number on the back. And I would ask that if you find something like that, we will personally come pick it up instead of mailing.
Come here and get it.
Because the mail is so unreliable these days.
I can meet you halfway.
Or that. I wouldn't ask you to do that.
We'd like to do it hand to hand.
No. This is, as you can see, this is extremely important to me. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of on the fringe of all this for all this time, you know, but that doesn't mean I haven't kept an eye on it for all this time.
This is my card that and my cell phone is on the back. You can call that number anytime, any day of the week, night or day.
I'm going to respect your fact that you're a human being too.
No. I do my best work in the middle of the night.
and they pay me for it.
I would argue that.
I've seen my brother-in-law gone for 2 weeks at a time without telling anybody what happened.
Yeah.
Or even talking to my sister.
Yeah.
And I tell you, that woman struggled.
Yeah.
Sometimes she never knew when she'd get that call in the night that somebody had shot him or something like that.
I mean,
on this street here, one time I counted 7 sworn officers on this street.
Living here. Yeah. It's a nice place to live.
And they've always considered the police friends of mine.
They are.
This is Investigator Tom Wish's card here, the white one. Investigator Bodmer's.
What I'll do is I'll see what I can do to find that.
This is mine.
Phone number.
Three of them.
Yeah, because if it's any importance at all.
Yep.
And,
everything's important to us.
Yeah.
Everything, something you thought wouldn't be that important.
Right.
That's why I mentioned the notebooks or the anything, even an old backpack, anything. Right. Even if you remember giving a box to Tiffany, then that would help us when we talk to Tiffany. Say, do you remember that box?
Are you aware of that thing that CBS did at
48 hours?
48 hours.
We are.
That's bunch of bullshit. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I thought it was, but when that lady came out. I worked with Tiffany too. We actually went through. I had a lot of photographs that I had taken. I had the videos that I had taken at that time. We all presented that to this lady.
Yeah.
And what became of it, I was totally disappointed.
Where is it at now?
I believe.
Did she not give that back to you?
I don't know if she gave them. I have to ask Tiffany because she even took Tiffany's hard drive out of her old computer that had some of those photographs on her, too. And I don't know whether she got that back.
Well, we need to find out about that.
Yeah. But I'll look around. There's not a lot. Like I say, Becky never, I never saw her write much down personal, you know, anything. Most of it was just, as far as I know, is the cell phone.
Right.
She was always on the cell phone.
When you speak to Tiffany again and you're talking to her, because she's obviously going to want to know what we spoke about, and feel free to talk to her about whatever we spoke about.
Well,
but if she has, I don't need to talk to her right now. Yeah, but if she has questions about our visit, my number's on there. She can call that number, too.
Okay.
The other missing link to who's not here right now is Investigator Lester Harvey. He is the lead investigator for the Sheriff's Department on this case. He has spoken with Ron. He has sat down, as well as Investigator Bodmer has. So myself and Investigator Tom Wish here, our names aren't going to sound familiar to her, to Tiffany, or even Ron, but Investigator Bodmer, his name is going to sound familiar. But my point is that if she just wanted somebody to talk to, my number's there, and I can put her in touch with Investigator Harvey.
Well, there was that period there about 2 years ago where everybody, there was a lot of people coming and asking other questions because they were, that was before they arrested Robert and his friend. And yeah, we tried to give everything that we could, but like you say, it's circumstantial. And it was kind of hard to prove something on that.
Well, I think that there was errors to get us to the point where we're at now. So it's not to say that it's not a case that, not to say that it's not a good case or it's not a case that can't be adjudicated. It's just some things occurred with the grand jury, as you know, that was out in the press.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to move forward.
Yeah.
We really are.
That's good.
We're hoping to move forward.
I have a question, and it may be a burr in somebody's saddle, but after the investigations and everything, it might have been a week or so after that, I went up and had a chance to walk around the crime scene and everything. One of the things I noticed is that the wheelbarrow that Becky was burned in, the handles were sawed off. Was there any kind of a print or anything, any kind of a DNA or print able to be retrieved from the handles of the wheelbarrow?
I'll tell you this, that wheelbarrow has been a point of contention even 10 years later now.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that errors weren't made by multiple agents affiliated with this investigation. But it was a very complex investigation. It happened immediately at the same time that five firemen were killed in the Esperanza Fire out there in Riverside County.
Oh, yeah.
So we had,
and that was also
a high, yes. So there was resources in terms of arson, and in terms of were being spread very, very thinly.
Okay.
And I can't. It would be inappropriate for me to comment prior to the case being litigated if there was anything garnered from the handles that were cut off.
Well, I can understand. You've got to have concrete evidence on that. So, but that was one of the things I did notice that the handles would be sawed off and taken away, and I go, that's interesting. Of course, there's this kind of, you might have got a palm print or maybe a fingerprint or something out of there.
Those were sawed off by law enforcement.
Yeah.
They were taken by us.
Yeah.
And for no other reason, 10 years later, and it's easy to sit back and money morning quarterback people 10 years ago, but, for the sake of at least the family, if you didn't think it had evidentiary value, you might take that.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think that many people would say that was a regret in hindsight. But then again, I've made mistakes in my career, too, that somebody could point out, and nobody's perfect.
I know that. My brother-in-law, he's struggled a lot while he was trying to garner evidence and do all this investigation and everything
that. It's hard because you don't know. You could come to a house like this and something, God forbid, happen, and you don't know that you can't take the whole house. It's not possible. You cannot literally take the entire house off the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pick what is important. And then afterwards you realize, there were some things there that were important that I didn't take.
Yeah. Well, here again, like you say, after 10 years, you came down to my house, and I'm willing to talk whatever you want to know. But like I say, if there's something, I really can't think of any written or documentary piece that Becky left here. Not at all.
That would be huge to us. If for nothing else that we would gain from coming here to speak to you, that single-handedly would be huge. And it'd be interesting to find out from Tiffany where that stuff from McEwen went.
I will talk to her. I'll be seeing her tomorrow. So I'll bring it up. And
do you guys see each other weekly these days?
Daily sometimes.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Only a mile down the road.
Oh, okay.
See, so It's one of these things where life goes on. She's got her sons. I'm involved with them as much as I can in a support way. And because, like I say, I've got the phone because one son is in high school, the other is in grade school, and she may be called in to do a substitute afternoon or something like that, and I can get, can you get the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get them. You know, that's, I'm more or less on standby these days.
It's a new on-call for you.
Yes. Well,
unpaid on-call. Yes.
But if I can help those young guys out, you know, a little bit.
Wonderful.
But being a teenager, you can't talk to them, and the 8-year-old is kind of like, he's starting to get attitude too, so. But I think in retrospect, when they get to be young adults and stuff like that, they'll look at each other and says, oh, yeah, the old man was right. Is there anything else I can help you with? I see you're packing up your stuff. Can I offer you a Sprite for the road?
I'm fine.
I'm good. I think I'm going to be getting something to eat here pretty soon down the road. So we got to get a little further closer to home, though, so otherwise we're going to be out here in traffic all night. So
I
doubt it. I think it's probably better to eat than get in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
The traffic's going to be bad.
Across the highway, you've got Outback, you've got Wood Ranch, you've got
Chewy's.
Where?
Chewy's,
yeah. Okay. They're there.
Now.
Yeah. They got all kinds.
All good.
Well, you know, yeah, Wood Ranch is expensive, and I think it's his turn to treat, so yeah, that's where we might end up.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, if you want, I'll buy you.
No.
I know.
I've done enough.
I know.
We are not projects.
don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to influence you in any respect.
No, not at all.
But I have this thing about one of the first things I'll ask when the kids come over with them. I says, have you had dinner yet? You've got something to eat? You know, make sure that they are looked after.
Yeah, that's a smart way. Yeah.
Sounds like you
had
a good
upbringing. I don't know how the hell this happened, but it just happened, and I got a deal.
There you go.
Thank you for not only meeting us, but meeting us on such short notice.
Chuck, we will definitely.
Sorry, it goes so damn far.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'll find those phone records.
Far.
And
a lot further.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get them copied.
Okay, that'd be great. Let us know.
That's going to be fun because
that whole year she was here would be great.
Yeah, because
yeah.
I always say I didn't pay that phone bill. I weighed it.
Fabulous. Yeah, that was back when you get 100 pages of phone bill. Right?
You got 12 pages of
phone. You bet.
Quit.
It's kind of quit. Yeah, I did. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Chuck.
Good luck, yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Edited by Kelly Barron's Brink and sound engineered by Shane Yoder. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. All of our fonts across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design, and you can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, TruthAndJusticePod.com, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Kay Wood Yomnick, Ginger Fiola, Erica Cantor, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Ford, Courtney Wimberly, and Melissa Cardenas. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in several ways. To financially support the show, the best thing you can do is just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You'll not only be supporting the show, but you'll get something in return. On Patreon, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes bonus video content every week. Then other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also do us a huge favor by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the brands that sponsor this program. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page on Facebook. And for all you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter at Truth Justice Pod. And I can be found personally on all forms of social media at Bob Ruff Truth. And don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.
Say goodbye to the dish and hello to Sky Stream, the new way to get Sky over Wi-Fi. So you can get unmissable Sky shows like The Last of Us and Succession, as well as Netflix and Discovery Plus, and loads more, all in one subscription for £26 a month. Oh, and next day delivery with no upfront fee. Sky Stream, TV simplified. Head to sky.com. Requires Sky Stream and broadband minimum speed, 10 megabits per second, 18-month minimum term. Cut-off times apply for next day delivery. Excludes bank holiday. 18 plus, terms apply.